Buzz iPhone app or online at 1037thebuzz.com. Come on.
The snap, and Wilbur will kick the ball, and he hits a mile-high, beautiful punt back to the three-yard line and bobbled by Arkansas. Down in the end zone, a loose ball. Gators get it. Touchdown! 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 Oh, my! Wandy Pierre Louie! Oh, my! Touchdown! Gators have taken the lead. The ladies coming
up on the right hand side. You love that.
I thought I was over it. I thought I was over it, but I'm not. I'm not over it yet. I'm still not over it. Mick Hubert's voice will ring in my ears for the rest of my life. Oh, man. Hopefully no gaffes this weekend in the Swamp. The Hogs cannot afford it. And as we were alluding to earlier, Wally Hall, Christina LeCuir, Razorbacks got to clean up the turnover issue.
Yeah, the absolute must.
Two is too many from last week. Let's go right to the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack and talk to Mick Hubert, whose voice I hear in my dreams or my nightmares. How are you, Mick?
I'm doing great. You sound like my producer. Every Saturday night, I go home with a headache. I can't get you out of my head.
I love it. I love listening to you call games, especially when you're doing it against a team that does not involve anybody in Arkansas. So it's much more enjoyable when we're not crying after the ball game is over. But welcome.
You know, it's the only way I know how to do it, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. I mean, that's the way I'm wired. I'm totally different off the air. People say, gee, are you in a bad mood? You're so quiet. I said, nope. But when I put the headset on, something comes alive, and I call every play like it could be the play of the game, and almost out of a fear of not wanting to screw it up. Now, I never want the play on the field to be better than the call in the booth. So Eric Wilbur is a tough guy to catch punts on indoors in the Georgia Dome, and it's tough. It really is tough. That ball hung for a long time, and Wandy Pierre-Louis was able to catch it, and the Gator was able to win that game. But, you know, that's the way it goes. And, you know, you win some, you lose some. We've lost a few of them, too.
Yeah, not very many. But anyway, we welcome you, and this has been a Florida team that is trying to find its way offensively. But let's start with a real positive, which has been the defense. I think ranked nationally second in total defense. I would make a pretty strong case, I think, and most people would who have seen them play, that they have the best defense in America this year.
You know, I just didn't know and didn't hardly think that the defense could be as good as it was last year. And they were very good last year, and they lost a lot of guys to the pros. And yet, because they played a lot of players, you know, they got a lot of guys with a lot of experience. And I think that's a trend that if you're fortunate to have that kind of depth to do that, teams are always better off the following year because they might lose six or seven starters, but they've got six or seven guys that have played almost as much time as the starters. So these guys really perform well. Obviously, that's Will Muschamp's forte, defense. We've been able to so far sustain the loss of Dominic Easley, who was a great player on the inside, a great tackle. And we'll see how it goes. But they got some depth in the secondary. They've got some depth on the defensive line. So. And they've been pretty good so far this early part of the season.
I'm a little bit biased, I guess, with the offense because the only game I saw them play a full game on was the Miami game. And, oh, by the way, Miami's defense is pretty good as well. Driscoll was in there, and I guess they had a hard time moving the ball. The end of the game had a real struggle. Didn't have a whole lot of time left to work with anyway. But talk to me about Driscoll versus Murphy. I'm assuming Murphy's going to go the whole way this week, and he was very efficient last week. I was actually surprised when I looked through the numbers, back to my original point, which was I'm biased. Driscoll's numbers are actually pretty good. I guess he's actually performed better than I expected. But talk to me about the two quarterbacks there and what kind of difference you'll see on the field, if any.
Well, you know, you mentioned earlier about the turnovers that the Hogs were having. That's what beat the Gators, certainly. Give Miami credit. It's an improving program at Miami. But the Gators made five turnovers in the game. They lost by 5 points. Driscoll, you know, overthrew a wide-open guy at the goal line, Quinton Dunbar. A couple plays later, he comes back, throws the ball in traffic, a red zone interception at the two-yard line. He fumbled. You just can't have those kinds of things for a third-year player. He's just a little tentative. You know, making some of the releases. He was recruited as the number one quarterback in high school by Urban Meyer to run a spread offense. So he wasn't really suited to Will Muschamp's style of play. He's got size, strength, and all those kinds of things. But now it's a real bad deal for him to be sidelined for the rest of the year with the broken leg that he got in the Tennessee game. Murphy had played very little and was a two-star kid coming out of Massachusetts. But he's got something. He's got the it factor. He just understands. He's a bookworm, studies tape, he's good in the classroom. has the total respect of his teammates, and why wouldn't he? You know, the guy who's been here for 4 years, can't beat anybody out, just keeps playing, slugging away, running the scout team offense every week. The players love him, and he's been able to step up and make throws and good reads and check out a bad plays at the line of scrimmage and just be a quarterback. So we've been very pleased with what we've seen for seven quarters out of Tyler Murphy. In some ways, our offense is better than it was before.
Mick Hubert, the voice of the Florida Gators, joining us on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. Matt Jones, another name we mentioned earlier. That's a guy that, you know, he's one of the many running backs in the SEC with high expectations this year. What was his situation? I know he missed a game this year. What's his situation? And talk to him about how he's been playing.
Well, he had a viral infection in late July, which basically sidelined him for all of training camp. I mean, he was out the month of August, and he just wasn't quite healthy. And he went back after missing a game because of that. Went back to Miami, really wasn't ready to play, fumbled on his first carry, and then he's gradually taking him this kind of time to get back. And he had a pretty good game last week, 28 carries, 176 yards, and he was the guy that was figured on to replace Mike Gillisley from last year's team. Gillisley ran for about 1,200 yards last year. So Mac Brown, who's been a journeyman, a four-year guy, fourth-year junior, has also been in the backfield. And I'm being real interested. I think one of the highlights of watching this game Saturday night is to see Jones and Brown run for Florida and see if they can run as well as Williams and Collins that run for Arkansas. Those two Arkansas backs are really, really good.
Yeah, the best run defense Arkansas faced all year was Rutgers, and Arkansas really struggled moving the ball. Talk to me about the run defense for Florida and what makes them so good so far.
Well, they tackle pretty well, and they got speed on the outside, and Dante Fowler's have a big year on the outside, as is Ronald Powell. They've had enough bodies to rotate in the tackles, so they're pretty good on the defensive line. And like I said, the linebackers run well, and they've got good people in the secondary. Cody Riggs has really done a good job there, moving from safety to playing nickel to going back to the safety. And Jalen Watkins, who's a true senior, is playing at safety, leading the team in tackles. Vernon Hargrave, they think, is a budding star. He's a true freshman. He was the National High School Player of the Year last year on defense, and he's already got three interceptions. So what will happen to a kid like Hargraves is that all of a sudden his production will go down. People will say, what's happened to him? What's wrong with him? Because people won't be throwing at him. You see, you know, they don't want to throw at Lucas Purifoy and, Marcus Roberson, established guy. So let's pick on Vernon Hargraves, a freshman, and all of a sudden he's made three interceptions. So sooner or later, the ball will start going away from Vernon Hargraves. But they've been pretty good on the run, only 54 yards they've allowed. And they've been pretty good on the pass, too. And third down defense is the best in the country. 18% is all they're allowing on third down. So the defense is really good. And the offense can get better. There's no question about it. But it's nowhere near as bad as a lot of people want to think that it is. It's just that Will Muschamp came in and said, this is a line of scrimmage league. And while it might be changing a little bit this year, it still boils down to, can you control the line of scrimmage? And I think that'll be the key aspect in Saturday's game, because you look at around the SEC right now, all the teams that are throwing the ball are basically doing it with senior quarterbacks, or in the case of Manziel, another guy who's probably not going to be here next year. So You watch. Next year, it'll go back being a ground-and-pound type of league. Really, right now, only Alabama, Arkansas, and Florida are really displaying that right now. But I think Will has done a good job at building that line of scrimmage and building depth. And I think, obviously, the Gators are not going to win games going away by offensively overpowering people. But, when they leave, it is a stat that our people around here really hate, is the fact that the Gators lead the SEC, and lead the nation, I should say, in time of possession. And they don't can't wrap their hands around that, because when Spurrier was here, we'd be last in the league in possession, scoring 40 points a game. I tell you what, I think there's some fans around here that would rarely see the Gators lose 38-35 than win 13-10. They just haven't fully embraced this style of football. And here's Florida having won, 15 of the last 18 games they played. So, Will's brought in here to win, and he's won. He's won it Nick Saban's way, and he's not throwing the ball over the field like I think a lot of people want this day and age, the microwave society we have. What have you done for me lately? And, oh, by the way, have you kept up with Oregon scoring points?
Well, Mick, unless you're the only play-by-play guy that gets paid by the hour, You love to see these kinds of games. It's a, you know, again, you want to see your team win most importantly, but, you know, the quicker games are good because you're not getting paid any extra to be there a long time. The two of the top teams in the country in time of possession, Brett Bielema mentioned this week, it could be the fastest game of the year. Number one and number 13 in time of possession. So two teams that are going to eat clock. And they're also, yes?
ESPN will level that out with the 18-minute timeout.
Yeah. There is probably that with a TV game for sure. But the other thing is, and a stat that I think is much more relevant than time of possession, is third down conversion. And, again, Florida, the best in the country at that as far as getting teams off the field on third down. So that, to me, is a lot more concerning than any kind of time of possession statistic.
Yeah, you know, you kind of read my mind in terms of the quickest game because I couldn't believe it last Saturday night at Kentucky. You know, it's a long trip, and I do the TV show with Coach on Sunday morning. So whenever I get home, it's a short nap and get up and do the show on Sunday morning. So We're going to the fourth quarter the other night. It was 2 hours and 10 minutes in the making going to the fourth quarter. Now, that LSU-Georgia game or any game on CBS is probably going to be 2:10 at halftime.
Right.
And we played in 2 hours, 48 minutes, which was great because we got home to Florida about 45 minutes faster than I thought we would. So if we have a quick game Saturday night, the Razorbacks will get back home quicker that way, too.
Any hope that Florida will look past Arkansas this week? And I got LSU, you know, and Baton Rouge trip next week.
No, I don't think so.
Come on,
man. I don't
think
so. I want to tell you, my number one reason for thinking that is this. Will Muschamp's a defensive guy, and he knows Brett Bielema is going to play that way, kind of a defensive guy. He has great respect for how Arkansas is playing. Great kicking game, couple of good kickers. Gonna run the ball, and I think he has a great respect for the coach on the other sideline. And knowing that Arkansas should have won at Rutgers and gave A&M a heck of a game, you know, there's no chance. And here's the other thing that the fans here are gonna like. You know, we played a lot of noon games, and they hate these noon games, especially in Florida with the heat and humidity. Well, we haven't had a night game in the swamp in 2 years. So they're going to be really stoked up to actually have a 7 o'clock kickoff in the swamp on Saturday night.
Oh, hey, Mick, is there any concern down there about Will Muschamp was the coach in waiting for Texas and that wait may be up at Texas?
I think there's always that fear in people's minds. I personally don't see it, and yet I think it's one of the premier jobs that got more money than Solomon. You know, they've got all kinds of money that they can throw at people at Texas. It's going to be a great job. But something says that Will is building something here for the Gators in his third year, and he spent 10 years in his grade school years here in Gainesville. So even though he went to Georgia, he grew up as a Gator fan. So I think he's happy here, and he knows that he can win here. And yet Texas is pretty alluring, and I wouldn't be surprised if Texas goes after a guy like Urban Meyer, somebody like that. You know, knowing what I know about Urban Meyer, he'll listen. If they got that kind of money, you can be sure of that. But, you know, I think there might be some sentiment in Texas that, hey, you were the guy in waiting, but you couldn't wait, so we're not coming back after you. You know, I don't know where that stands.
Mick, any truth to the rumor that USC is pursuing you as their play-by-play man?
Boy, the Southern California lifestyle. Hey, they have to pay me $1 million, wouldn't they? Because it'd take $1 million to live there because you're going to
get taxed way more than $1 million.
Yeah, maybe they could give you Lane Kiffin's $5.5 million house that he's going to have to unload now. So,
what about the 100% tax you got to pay in living California?
Yeah, that seems
correct.
Unfair. Yeah,
that's what I said. It's going to take you way more than $1 million. Yeah. So you got to ask for two or three.
Florida's got a good deal. Yeah, without a doubt on the tax end of things.
Mick, hey, I'm very blessed. I grew up in Illinois and had no ties to the state of Florida whatsoever. Didn't go to school here, but I've been here now 25 years. So It's a good place to retire if I'm fortunate enough to do that.
Well, the dogs are excited about it, without a doubt. Mick, we appreciate the time so much. And, again, I will be hearing your voice, I think, until my life comes to an end. It was a great call on what was a very influential play. Whatever happened to Wandy Pierre-Louis?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I really don't. I have to find out about that because Arkansas being here this week. He grew up in Haiti.
Yeah.
So, and he didn't play in football until he got to Fort Myers. So he was more of an athlete than he was a football player. But that was his claim to fame, I guess, that particular day.
There is no question. Well, Mick, thanks so much. Take care. We appreciate the time.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right. That is Mick Hubert, the voice of the Florida Gators.
It was fun.
Hey, what a good guy.
No kidding.
It's almost impossible to root against him, but I'm going to anyway. Wally, good question. That's a good point. I think he made a great point, too, though. There's got to be a little bit of bitterness that, oh, really? We're going to give you a little extra money to stick around as the coach and waiting, and you're going to shun us?
Oh, yeah.
Well, screw you. Never thought about Urban Meyer. That's a name that I would not have expected to have pop up. I guarantee the folks in the Big Ten feel like we do about Nick Saban. Please leave.
Yeah.
Makes things a whole lot easier on us if you take off. It's 11:46. Wally Hall here for one more segment. Christina LeCure will be here through the end of the show.
No, we're going to lunch it.
So
crazy
if you're
nice.
if you're gonna insult her, wait till 12 o'clock after Wally gets out of here. Then you can have the whole hour. I kid, kind of.